Despite the ongoing fighting in the Middle East, there are those who continue to advocate for peaceful solutions. Such is the case with peace activists Rotem Levin and Osawa Ilawat. Levin is a Jewish Israeli and Ilawat is a Palestinian from the West Bank. They've been traveling internationally to spread a message of peaceful coexistence. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with them in November.
How did you guys get together? How did you first meet and start doing this tour and advocating for peace?
So we met 7 years ago and we started to give talks through one of the peace organizations on the land, mostly to groups of teenagers before they go to serve in the army, and also like foreign groups and Palestinian groups. And during the years, we became friends and we participated in different healing projects and direct actions and co-resistance. And on the 16th of October, 10 days after the 7th of October, we had a two-week tour planned from the summer around Germany. And yeah, we decided to go. And it was actually the first time that I had to go, like Osama, to Jordan because the airport in Israel was closed. Osama, anyway, you cannot fly from this airport. But for the first time, we had to travel together to Jordan. And yeah, then we found ourselves like giving talks every day for the last year. We spent 6 months in Germany. We had over 100 talks there. And now we are in the States. It's already 4 months. And yeah, we give a lot of talks almost on a daily basis. And yeah, we just cannot stop speaking about it because of the horrors and what is happening.
So Osama, you guys are trying to really, it sounds like, change the whole culture, change the whole framework of people in Israel and Palestine for seeing what's going on. How do you go about doing that when people are raised to be suspicious of the other side and think the other side never wants peace?
Yeah, so we are trying to explain to people our experience. Our experience, how we grew up, how we were raised on the same ideas you just mentioned. And when we somehow succeeded to jump to the other side or to be part of the other side, to learn the language, to learn the culture, to accept their existence and to accept their identity and to learn their language and to be part and to understand their fears and their traumas and to feel the pain of the other side, we succeeded somehow to get out of being the victims and being the enemies and fight for each other's rights instead of fighting each other over stories and history. You know, we let go of who owns the land and who's the owner and what is God promises. And we recognize each other's humanity and each other need to live safe and to live free on our own land. And that's how things start, by we change ourselves first and then we try to pass this and to share our experience with many people and to show them that there is alternative for weapons and for wars, because there is no military solution to this, to our situation. And the alternative is to recognize the catastrophes and the traumas and the history, and because peace is a place where two narratives can meet and accept each other.
Rotem, in Israel, there is something of a peace movement there, but do you think that it has been kind of limited and it doesn't really go as far as you guys are in terms of really seeing what's going on? Or do you think there's hope for that peace movement?
I think for years, the peace movement, it was focused on the two-state solution, and people who used to call themselves peace activists weren't really ready to go beyond this solution. And I think because of the reality on the ground, now the two-state solution is not really realistic, and people who used to call themselves peace activists, suddenly they don't believe in peace anymore because they cannot imagine anything beyond this idea of two-state solution, separation, and walls that are supposed to guarantee a safety. And what we do, we have a completely different discourse. We crossed the wall to the other side. I lived in the West Bank with Palestinians, and Osama lived in Israel, and he has a lot of relationships with Israelis. And we understand how the other side see us and what's the story of the other side. And we are here to say we can live together on the same land. Segregation and separation will never guarantee safety to anyone. And it's time to change the system, because this system guarantees me all the rights, all the protection, because I'm Jewish. But 5 million Palestinians who live in the West Bank and in Gaza, they cannot even move freely on their homeland. They cannot use the airport. They cannot vote for the parliament. So we have an apartheid regime right now, and this is the source of the violence. We have to change this regime into a regime that will respect all of us as human beings, will see all of us as equals, and then we will have peace and security. But the current paradigm of the Israeli government and also the opposition, I don't think that the Zionist opposition suggests anything different than what this government suggests. And this is why they are failing every time. And this is why people don't vote for them, because they are not brave enough to imagine anything beyond the two-state solution. And we are here to say we need to change the whole system on the land into a system that will give us the same rights, that will give us the same freedoms. And this is the way to guarantee the safety of all of us, Israelis and Palestinians.
Osama, what do you tell people who, on the Palestinian side, who talk about the importance of maintaining the resistance, that we can never give up, and no matter how many lives we have to sacrifice, we will eventually defeat the Israelis? Have you had many dialogues with people supporting the resistance?
I support the resistance too. I mean, resistance is important. When people are occupied, resistance is justified. What I'm saying is the armed resistance is not a solution. It just will hurt people and it will create enemies. And maybe we need to use different kind of resistance. We need to use art. We need to use, we sing. We need to draw things. I believe resistance is right for the people. And my way is different. I think we should not resist against the Israelis. We should resist with the Israelis against the system. And that's how it should be, because I think we all are occupied after understanding the two cultures. Of course, there is power dynamic. Of course, there are people who have more rights than the others. But I believe we need to show the others that we accept them and accept their existence. I have the right to resist, but I want to resist with showing the others that they are included and their right to exist is included in my resistance, and that's how they will resist with me. I want to inspire people to resist with me, not resist against me. And yeah, and I want people to understand that there is difference between someone calling for keep fighting the resistance from someone living in abroad, I don't know where, having all the rights, having good business, having good life, having good passports, traveling all around the world, and then someone who's living in Gaza now and his own need is to have food and safe place, yeah, for his children and or medicine, the people who lost their, you know. I just want to tell people, talk to the people on the ground and ask them what their needs. And I can't keep following your fantasies. There is dream and there is reality. And if you want to resist, if you care about Palestinians, you don't keep thinking that we have to go back to 8 years ago. You know, changes doesn't happen by creating other catastrophe in order to end our catastrophe. Change happened by finding a just solution for everyone to be equal and to be free. And this is the way to unite people for the same idea.
The Israelis have cracked down on nonviolent resistance as well. So is that a big problem, to get people to realize that they need to take a leap in consciousness if the occupying power doesn't tolerate any kind of opposition?
Exactly. The occupying power right now, the main narrative in Israel, doesn't tolerate any kind of resistance. Like, nonviolent resistance is anti-Semitic and violent resistance is terrorism. So they don't give us any option, right? So for me right now, we are not waiting for the occupying power to tell us how to resist. We are here saying we will resist in our way, which is nonviolent. Every way which is nonviolent for me is super relevant and effective. And I just know how the Israeli people react to violence. So for me, I know it's not effective. I know it just pushed them back to tribalism and to being more aggressive. And this is exactly what happened after the 7th of October, which was a tragic day for us Israelis. Many innocent people were killed, but on the same time, it was expected. It was expected because you cannot put people in cages forever and expect them to hug you, you know. At some point, it will explode. And it was tragic, and many people lost their lives. And now it's our responsibility to prevent another similar attack. And we have to change the paradigm. We can't guarantee safety by military force. Military is not a solution. It will never be a solution. Now it's the time to understand that there are 7 million Palestinians on the land. They deserve exactly the same rights as the Jews. And if we want peace, we need to give them the same rights as Hayev. And yeah, we need to put external pressure because the US doesn't help us. The US government, with their unconditional support, and they send us weapons that we can continue killing each other instead of actually supporting a peace process, actually telling the occupying power, you have to respect international law. There is international law. All the world is voting to stop this madness. And the empire, the US government, is putting veto again and again and again as if it is defending, protecting the Israelis. The Israelis are not protected by this paradigm. The Israelis now will be in danger for 100 years because of this horrific genocide.
I heard the senator yesterday, the Americans are not supporting the Israelis because they love the Jewish people. Americans are supporting the Israelis because if the Israelis will stand for justice, then the Americans will stand for justice for their crimes. And they are afraid to be the next ones because they committed the crimes all around the world and they are the criminal. And they can't go now and do accountability on Israel and not be accounted themselves. The senator said yesterday, if this happened to Israel, we will be the next.
Do either of you see any emerging leadership on either side that's responsive or sympathetic to the views you're expressing? Or are they pretty locked into their traditional ways?
No, I think, you know, where are the Palestinian leaders? They are all in jail. We don't have Palestinian leaders. If you don't listen to Israel and America, they will put you in jail. America did not recognize us as a state until today. What are you talking about, leaders, if you don't recognize me? No matter what leader you put, if you don't give the leader authority to protect his people, as long as Israel is entering to our cities, kidnapping our children, demolishing our houses in Area A every single day against the international law, no leader will control the Palestinians. If you want any leader to make change, you need to show people that by peace, by talk, we need change. In 1993, when Oslo Agreement was signed, Jericho, Gaza first, I was living in Gaza, in Jericho, sorry, and I saw thousands of Palestinians in the street celebrating. Everyone was welcoming the peace. Everyone was raising the Palestinian flag, slaughtering goats, dancing in the streets, sharing food. But after we recognized that this peace is fake, the Germans didn't recognize us, the Americans didn't recognize us, most of the West did not recognize us yet, and the settlements project is continuing, and no one is stopping Israeli from keep doing their crimes. That's why we fail, not because our leaders. So no matter what you put leaders, Israeli leaders or Palestinian leaders, as long as Palestinians don't have authority, as long as the Israelis don't have anyone to hold them to accountability, no one will make change. We need justice. Then to put the right leaders. Because when you give people, traumatized people, power, and when you give them weapons and when you give them cover, they will never change. Why? They will lose their privileges.
Do you think, Rotem, that the Israelis need to give up what some people have called their 51% obsession? You know, this idea that Jews have to be the majority in their territory, or if they're not, they're facing a danger of annihilation or some sort of oppression. This kind of goes along with the one state idea that it's really one state anyway, and they have to learn to live together.
I think this ideology, this paradigm, is actually the most dangerous thing that the Jews could do. And we see, like, we were dreaming about this safe heaven, right? Once we will be the majority, we will be safe. But what was needed in order to create this majority? We ethnic cleanse the land. from its indigenous population. In 48, two-thirds of the Palestinian population were expelled from their homes. So in order to achieve this dream of a safe haven, we ethnic cleansed the land. And now we are in the Middle East. We are not here like you in North America, Turtle Island, when you ethnic cleansed everyone and now the colonization is like, that's it, it's final. We are in the Middle East. We live in between millions of Arabs. So I think now the only way to guarantee the safety of the Israelis is by integrating them into the region, by creating trust, relationships of trust, by breaking the segregation and by creating a real democracy on this land. But the 51% paradigm is going to annihilate the Israelis. If we will not change the paradigm, we are creating with our own hands our own extermination, because this ideology of we have to be the majority in the Middle East, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Now, I'm not telling you we can solve it in one day. It will be a long process, of course, but we have to start from somewhere. We have to start recognizing that Israel is not a democracy. It's a democracy for Jews. Only Jews are being protected and respected by the Israeli law. And once we recognize what this regime is all about, which is a democracy only for Jews, then we can start and correct this regime, which means that everyone should be equal by the law. Everyone, the people in Gaza, the people in the West Bank, they are all living under the same regime. There is one system on the land. Between the river and the sea, there is one system. Israel controls everything. Some people have the right, some people don't have the right. So this is the problem, and this is what has to be changed. And if we will keep believing militarism, and that by militarism we can guarantee the 51%, we are basically like exterminating ourselves. This is what I see, and this is where it is going. And Jews have never been in such a danger as they are today, because the Arab world witnesses every day massacres, hundreds of people are being killed, innocent people, women, children. They will remember it for generations now. So in order to protect the Israelis, what we need now is a ceasefire. And America is just sacrificing the Jews for their imperial interests. This is exactly what is happening now. They are not protecting the Israelis. They are doing the opposite.
Either of you have anything else you'd like to add?
I just wish America will stop sending us weapons, will force the Israeli government to stop the war immediately. Immediately. Because again, traumatized people, we are traumatized, we are indoctrinated to believe in militarism since a very young age. Israelis will not stop this war. The government is not interested in stopping this war. We need America and we need the international community to stop sending us weapons, to tell us this is self-destructive what you are doing, and this is just going to endanger your people, and we need to change direction and to basically force this government, which is a fascist government, to stop the war.
There was that vote in the Senate to stop the arms flow, although it was defeated overwhelmingly. I guess it was significant that it was even voted on.
Yeah, I agree. It was significant. It was the first time such a topic is being voted about. But only 19, I think, voted for it. Yeah. We need 51, right? We still have a lot of work to do.
I would love the Americans and everyone else who are sitting giving us lectures about the humanity and about all these rights to understand on the Palestinians and the Israelis. There are 7 million Palestinians and 7 million Israelis living on the land. No one's living anywhere. And we are not asking for miracles, and we are not asking the world to storm their brains and bring different solutions. We are asking for equality and justice and freedom for everyone. And this is a legal thing to ask. And these countries, the democracies, are hypocrisies, and they are preventing us of reaching this because it doesn't help or it doesn't serve their interests. Nothing else. No one interested in us. They interest in what they want from the Middle East. And what they are doing with Israel, it's called fish love. You know what's fish love? When you say, I love fish, you don't love fish. If you love fish, you will not kill the fish. You will not hunt the fish. You will not cook the fish. You love what the fish gives you, the taste, the proteins. So you love yourself and you love what the fish is giving you. And that's the exact way America loves Israel.
Those were the voices of peace activists Rotem Levin and Osama Ilawat. they spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on December 16th, 2024.